Galatians chapter number 5, and if you'll look, please, in verse number 17, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things you would. Now, let me stop right there. Let me help you all, okay? Get this. The Holy Spirit of God, we're going to learn in just a minute, down in verse number 22, one of the things he produces in us is peace. Now, let me tell you who is the arch rival, the arch enemy of the Holy Spirit of God. Get this. It's your flesh. They don't get along. Your flesh wants to be in control, and your flesh wants to be the boss, and your flesh wants to dictate what you do in life. And you know what? The Holy Spirit wants the same position. And so guess what? They're going to fuss and fight against each other. That's why the Bible says that we're to die daily. That's why the Bible says that we're crucified with Christ. Listen, you can't sign a peace treaty with the flesh. You kill it. Mortify, therefore, in your members. Mortify means to kill, to annihilate, to put to death. And so I'm telling you, if you're going to feed the flesh and ignore the Holy Spirit of God and starve the Spirit, then you're going to not only be living in such a way that's contrary to the will of God, but you're not going to have peace. You're not going to have peace. Now, notice verse 18. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Again, boy, there's so much I want to say here. You know, this whole idea of, well, I'm not under the law. I'm led by the Spirit. Good. Good. Good for you. Great. Good. Capital S. You're led by the, what's his first name? Holy. All right. Folks, listen to me. Let me just help you. You know what the Bible's saying here? If you're Spirit-led and Spirit-filled, listen, it's not like the Holy Spirit is going to say, okay, you're not under the law, you're not accountable to the Word, and so therefore you can, because you're so Spirit-filled, you can't ignore the Word of God, you can ignore the principles and precepts of the Bible. What the Bible's simply saying here is this. If you get Spirit-filled and Spirit-led, obeying the precepts of the Bible is going to be an automatic thing. You know, don't come to me ever and tell me that the Spirit led you to do something opposite of this book. Don't ever. Yeah, maybe some spirit did. But the Bible says to try the spirits. How do you try the spirits? With the Bible. How do I know whether it's the Spirit of God or the Spirit of Antichrist that's leading me to do something? If it's the spirit of Antichrist, it's going to try to get me to do things opposite of the Bible. If it's the Spirit of God, it's going to be saying amen to the Bible and leading me to do that. Somehow we've got this idea that spirit fullness or spirituality allows us to be carnal. What a mixed up view of life. And so anyway, I'm going to get down to this. Come on, we're going to get to peace. It's coming. Here we go. Now the works of the flesh are, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Well, there's another whole sermon. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is, here we go, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And you know what he's saying there? He's saying you're not going to find anything in the Old Testament that says these things are forbidden. You got a green light on this area. You got a green light on these things. And they that are Christ have, here we go, crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So we've crucified the flesh. The flesh wants to run our lives. So we crucify the flesh with the affections and the lust or the desires, what the flesh loves, what the flesh wants. And we instead decide that we're going to live in the Spirit, be Spirit-filled, listen to the Holy Spirit of God, and walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, help us to grasp this. And Lord, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for this matter of peace. In a world gone crazy, we can still have the peace that passeth all understanding. Thank you, Lord. Even with all of the circumstance, all of the turmoil, even all of the difficulties and problems we must sometimes must face in life, we can still have the peace that passeth all understanding. Help us, please, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I got a chance this week to listen, Brother Chad, to most of the message on the fullness of the Holy Spirit that you taught on a few Wednesdays ago. I've had several of our people come up and say that that message was a particular blessing to them. I appreciate that. How many of you are here on that Wednesday night to hear that message? Okay, you all can go to McDonald's, because I'm just going to reteach everything that he taught. And no, stay here. I'm not going to go into some of the same areas. I might touch on a little bit of what he taught. Of course, I'll do it a much better job of it. But I'll tell you the best part of that whole message to me, and I mean, that was a blessing. But that best part of that whole message was the last 5 minutes when he said, that means that my daughter can have a dad, or she can have a spirit-filled dad. My wife can have a husband, or she can have a spirit-filled husband. My junior church could have a preacher, or they can have a... Are you getting this? Well, I'll tell you what. I almost feel like that when we get on this subject, it's almost one of those deals where I say we need to take off our shoes. We're walking on holy ground here. And folks, the idea that the Holy Spirit of God lives inside of us. I just hope you never get used to that. Young man, I don't know. Maybe I can't get you to be 50-year-old excited about this, or 50-year-old. I know you haven't the background. I know you haven't done the study. I know you haven't, probably many of you, even sought the fullness of the Spirit in your life. I hope, listen to Brother Chad's message, lit something inside of you. But it is a sin for us to live our life ignoring the indwelling of the Spirit of God. It is probably one of the greatest Baptist sins is our ignorance of the person working of the Holy Spirit of God. We've gotten so scared, so worried about the charismatics that they've stolen an entire person of the Godhead from us. And I'm not going to let them do that. The Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, indwelt you the minute that you got saved. He came in and he rebirthed your spirit, and he took up residence. He now looks and treats your body as his house. What? Know ye not that ye are the temple of the Holy Spirit? Which means the Holy Spirit resides in each and every believer. And that gives us all a common denominator. That means when I walk up to another Christian, I start talking. He's indwelt with the Spirit. I'm indwelt with the same Holy Spirit. There's a connection. Y'all, some of you gone on vacation. You know, you've shown up at a church maybe you've never been to before and met Christians you've never shook hands with before. But isn't it something that just within a few minutes, there is a kindred spirit. There's a connection there. The world's always trying to get that. Now, that's why they have the lodges. Okay? Honestly. That's why they have the clubs. That's why they have the motorcycle gangs. That's why they have all of these other institutions and deals, and some of them are ridiculous and some of them aren't even sinful. But they're all trying to find something that makes them feel a unity beyond the norm. But we have it every single time we gather here at Blessed Oak Baptist Church. There's nothing they can create that's like the local assembly. There's nothing they can create that carries as its common denominator the Holy Spirit of God that unifies and pulls together. So what a blessing to be able to call somebody brother, to be able to call them sister, to be able to know that they're family, because we've been born all into the family of God. And so that Holy Spirit gives us this great common denominator. Who is he? He is a person of the Godhead. Don't forget this. The Holy Spirit is not a thing. It's not an it. He's a person. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He's as much God as God the Father. He's as much God as God the Son. He's not a third class, third tier member of the Godhead. He is as much God as them, and that means that a part of the triune God, a member of the triune God, resides in every single born-again Christian. That's an exciting thing. I mean this. I mean it with all my heart. If you've never done it, you need to find a time to do it this week. You need to, for the first time, in, some of you, first time in your life, come on now, say to the Holy Spirit, "Hi, we've never talked. Ever since I got saved, you've lived inside of me, and I've never carried on a conversation with you. I guess it's about time we got to know each other. It's about time we start communicating. It's about time I start understanding what you're trying to do in my life, your presence, your power in my life." And anybody said, "Oh, I've heard this, you know, you pray to God in through the Spirit in Jesus' name, as if it's a sin to, you know, pray to the Jesus." Listen, folks, I talk to Jesus, and I talk to the Holy Spirit, and I talk to God the Father, and you know what? They're all one. You can't talk to one without talking to the rest of them anyway. And they say, "Preacher, explain that whole Trinity thing to me. I'm not understanding that." Well, you're never going to understand it, and I'm never going to be able to properly explain it. Aren't you glad you have a God you can't comprehend? Amen. Well, is he three or one? Yeah. Well, wait a minute. No, that's yeah. He's one God. He chooses to reveal himself to us in three distinct personalities. They don't conflict. They're one, and that you can't separate them. And yet, at the same time, the Word of God chooses to introduce them at times in separate manners. Say, "I don't understand that." Good. A lot of his ways are so far above our ways. His thoughts so far above our thoughts. I don't have to understand it. I just believe it. I just accept it. I'm just glad for it. And I'm sure glad that God sent a part of who he is, that member of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, to come and live inside of me. Now, young people, boy, I want you to get this. And adults, I've been talking to young people because they're here, but adults, we need it too. We need it too. What is the job of... What is his job in our lives? Let me break it down for you. Go over to John chapter number 14, because I'm gonna bring this around to where we talk about peace. But let's walk down through what are the responsibilities that the Word of God, the jobs that the Word of God says that the Holy Spirit will do for us in our lives. I love the title that's given by Jesus to the Holy Spirit. You find it 1, 2, 3, 4 different places. The title of Comforter. John 14:16, "And I pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, which the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you." Y'all understand that, don't you? Know a little bit about the Bible. He was with the disciples, but he wasn't indwelling them. It wasn't until the day that Jesus was glorified, the day that he rose from the dead, he showed up in that upper room, breathed on them, said, "Receive you the Holy Spirit." And from that day on, the Holy Spirit indwelt believers. John 14:26, look down a little bit. "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost from the Father, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things." Remember, by the way, that little phrase there, "teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." Chapter 15, verse 26, "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me." Chapter 16, verse number 7, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, that it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." Real quick, let's go down through the list. Who does the Holy Spirit? He's a member of the triune God. What is his job in our lives? Well, the first thing that Jesus emphasizes as he's introducing the concept of the Holy Spirit coming when he departs is he calls him the Comforter. Now, all of us need comfort. Young people, you're going to find this out, and I'm going to say something about it in the morning service, but life gets hard sometimes. Life gets difficult. There's things that happen, real life heartaches. You know what? There's cancer, it's a fact. There's disease, it's a fact. There's car accidents, it's a fact. There's premature deaths, it's a fact. Okay? The phone rings, your life's flipped upside down, it's a fact. There's real family problems. There's real heartache. It's a fact. It's a fact of life. It was brought on because of sin. It's part of the curse. It's just what it is. And what I'm saying is, you're going to find out there's many times in your life that you're going to need the Holy Spirit of God. You're going to want to have a good relationship with Him, an unhindered relationship with Him, because when you're going through heartache and that Spirit of God comes along, come on now, you've been there, and picks you up when you can't walk, and gives you strength when you can't put one foot in front of the other, and gives you the ability to think when life has gone crazy and you can't put a sane thought together, and yet God carries you through those situations. And then the Holy Spirit of God says, when something happens, He says, I got this. I got this. I'm here. And what a blessing that is. He's our divine tutor. John 14:26, I told you to remember this phrase, He shall teach you all things. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, for what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's teaching wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Now, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. And one of the jobs of the Holy Spirit is to comfort us. The other job is to teach us the Bible. And one of the reasons you want a good relationship with the Holy Spirit and keep that relationship right and sacred is because He illuminates the Word of God for you. I couldn't help as I listened to Brother Chad's message. I just listened to it and wept a little bit as I was listening to it, and then smiled a little bit as I listened to it and thought, you know what? That young man's going to be all right if he doesn't lose that hunger right there. He's going to be all right. Come on. Let's talk about some of us that have been at it a while. Have we lost our hunger for spirit fullness? I mean, Christian, come on. Have you been saved 20 years and you've never, ever got to the point where you became hungry and thirsty for the power of God in your life? He said, Bible says, I'll pour water on him that's thirsty. You stay thirsty, you're going to get water. You stay hungry, you're going to get power. And one of the most exciting things is about studying the Scriptures is when you understand that one of the reasons you need to have a good relationship with the Holy Spirit is that you can then open your Bible and say, Dear Spirit of God, I'm getting ready to read the Bible. I want you to illuminate the Word to me. I want you to teach me something. I'll have people from time to time come and say after a message, Preacher, I've read that portion of Scripture. I never saw that. Well, folks, I don't see it either if He doesn't show me. And don't get me wrong. Nothing drives me crazy than having an evangelist come in and read a portion of Scripture and say, man, I know everything in that. And he pulls something. I'm going, where did that come from? How did I miss that to this? You know what? At some point that man was studying the Bible and God just illuminated a special truth for him to share with people as he preached the Bible. You know what? Some of you don't enjoy reading the Bible. You don't read it. And the main reason is because you're saved, but you don't get anything out of it. Now, listen to me. You're not. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit. You cannot just say, I'm going to, with man's wisdom, I'm going to take my intellect and my wisdom, and I'm going to figure this book out. I'm going to understand the deep things of this book. Let me tell you something. It is a spiritual activity to read and study the Bible and rightly divide it. These people that say, watch this, well, you can prove anything you want to out of the Bible. You can teach anything you want to out of the Bible. No, you can't. No, you can't. Not if you're rightly dividing the Word of God. And so, what an exciting thing just to have a session in the Word of God where you are studying it and you're comparing spiritual things with spiritual things, and the Holy Spirit is illuminating it, and showing you truth and revealing things to you and putting it together. I'm going to tell you something. I love studying the Bible. I could become a monk. I'm serious. I mean, I'm telling you. I could. Sometimes I just think to myself, boy, I just wish I had 2 weeks locked away somewhere. And there's other people that's wanted me to be locked away somewhere for how about 2 years? And I mean it. Sometimes life interrupts things. Don't get me wrong, I get it. But I'm going to tell you, sometimes I understand, or I'm going to say it. I understand why Mr. Spurgeon, about every other year, just took 2 months and went and hid off somewhere. And by the way, when he came back, his congregation benefited. We all want to talk about Spurgeon. Well, why don't we have Spurgeons anymore? I don't know. We've got baby congregations that have to be babysat all the time and get jealous if the preacher's gone for more than two services. Maybe that's why. You know, we've got offices instead of pastor studies. We've got church members more worried about why isn't he answering his phone than I wonder if he's getting something from heaven. Okay. Amen. That's good. Amen, preacher. That's good. Oh, I think we've managed in our society to turn preachers into CEOs. And I'm going to tell you something. We want the power that fell back in the Great Awakening, but we don't want really men of God to be allowed to be men of God as they were in the days of the Great Awakening. And but I'm just telling you something. There's something wonderful about just getting in for extended periods of uninterrupted time and having the Holy Spirit teach you the Bible and illuminate things and make it live. So he's your tutor. Well, I'm taking too much time. Quickly, here we go. He's our divine comforter. He's divine, our divine tutor. He's our divine prayer partner. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Flip over there real quick. Romans 8, 26. I want to teach you something about prayer here. Not only does the Holy Spirit come to you to comfort you during times of trials and brokenheartedness, but he tutors you and is active as you read and study the Bible. Then he's there to pray with you and become your prayer partner. Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And so, well, I'm going to share this with you. Listen to me. Sometimes it's very obvious what you need to pray about in a situation. But I'm telling you, I deal with a lot of complicated things. And you know what? Life's not always simple. And sometimes the honest truth is I just have to say, God, I don't even know what to pray about it. I don't even know what to ask you about on this. I don't know. It's not a matter of clear right and wrong here. It's just a matter of me finding the will of God. I don't know how to pray for this person. I don't know how to pray for this circumstance. And you know what? What a wonderful thing to be able to say to the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, this is an infirmity with me. This is a shortcoming. This is a hindrance in my life. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. I'm just going to get quiet. I'm going to let you pray for me about this matter to God. Did you get that? I'm going to let you pray for me. You know what? The Holy Spirit knows the will of God. Holy Spirit knows what ought to be asked at the throne of grace. I don't want to ask the wrong thing sometimes. I don't want to ask the wrong thing. I don't want to be praying for this to happen when God wants this to happen. And so if I'm not sure, I just say, Holy Spirit, this is one of those times I'm going to present this before God. I'm going to present the situation. I'm not asking for anything. I'm just going to get quiet. Please pray for me. Please make intercession for me. Please, you know the will of God. I don't. Please go to the Father with this request and ask what ought to be done. And then just be quiet and let the Holy Spirit of God pray for you. Pray with you. He's our divine guide. I won't have you turn there. Acts 8:29. Just a week or so ago, we preached on Philip. Then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. He directs us throughout the day. He gives us divine assurance. Brother Chad mentioned this, Romans 8:16. The Spirit, capital S, beareth witness with our spirit, small s, that we are the children of God. He's the one that comes to us and reassures us of our salvation, tells us and reminds us that we are children of God. Backslidden carnal Christians always struggle with assurance of salvation. Okay, you know why? You don't have peace. You know why? Because one of the fruits of the Spirit's peace. You grieve the Holy Spirit, you're constant grieving or quenching the Holy Spirit in your life. Guess what? You struggle in this matter of sometimes wondering and doubting whether you're saved. He's our divine convictor. John 16:7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and righteousness and of judgment. Boy, he's good about that. I thank God that God sent a part of him, who he is, a member of the triune God inside of me, to bring instant attention to my heart. Instant conviction in my heart when I begin to look at something or go a direction or make a decision or have thoughts that I shouldn't have or develop an attitude I shouldn't. If I'll listen to him, you know what? He'll come immediately and he'll come strongly and he'll say something and he'll listen. Only the Holy Spirit has the power to do that. Now, let me give you something here. If you are saved, how many of you are saved? You're not ashamed to raise your hand. Okay. That means inside of you, that if you guys had your hand, inside of you dwells the Spirit of God. He's there to give you comfort. Then why are you in constant turmoil? He's there to be your tutor. Then why aren't you reading the Bible and understanding it? He's there to be your prayer partner. Then why don't you pray? He's there to guide you. Why don't you ever have a divine appointment? He's there to assure you. Why are you constantly struggling with your own salvation? He's there to convict you. Oh, let me answer all the previous questions. If you respond negatively towards his conviction and you want him to be quiet in that area of your life, the problem is he tends to get quiet in all areas of your life. Are you getting this? There goes the peace. Whoosh. There goes the comfort you need. Whoosh. There goes what you could have learned from the Bible to give you more peace and comfort. Whoosh. There goes the peace and comfort you get when you're at the throne of grace. Boom, gone. There goes the opportunity and the boldness to do as you ought to do in divine appointments. There it went. Whoosh. There goes the assurance. You hear a sermon every time you someone bless your heart. Sometimes some of you, every time you hear a sermon on the second coming of Christ or hell, you're sitting back there torn up about it. You know why? Whoosh, there's it go. There it go. As your preacher preaches on wrong music, you know, get an attitude about it. You ain't taking my Hank Williams Jr. Preacher, I don't like you preaching against country western music. Well, I like it because you don't like it. Well, I'm telling you, there's some songs, yeah, I know, you can find one or two, but you know what, if I drop an apple into the toilet, I'm not going to stick my head in the toilet to get the apple. Sometimes you got to get down to where Greene County people live, man. You know, the Holy Spirit illuminates, but sometimes Pastor Jerry just has to help him illuminate. Now, you want to tout two or three songs, but the honest truth is you flip it on the station and listen to 20 trash, wicked, trash, filthy songs with filthy philosophies and filthy thoughts. And then you want to justify it by two or three songs, you know, out of... You know, I guarantee I don't even know what they are. I don't care what brand of world music. I don't care if it's pop music. I don't care if it's R&B. I don't care if it's country music. I don't care if it's, what's it, Riser Living, listen to rap music. I don't care what it is. I don't care what it is. I guarantee you, if you went right now on the internet and you Googled top 20 such and such hits, and you've seen what they were right now today, and you had all of the words of all of those hits printed out in front of you, and you brought them up here, and I read them out loud from the pulpit, it wouldn't be 2 or 3 minutes, and everybody would be going, oh, preacher, don't say that, not in church. But you'll listen to it in your car. Now, come on, you want to get real, or you want to just play these games? You want to just keep grieving the Holy Spirit? Because, you know, see, if you're not willing, it's the dumbest statement I ever hear. One of our teenage boys said this to me two or three times when he was going through high school, and he says, I listen to the wrong kind of music sometimes, but I don't, everybody talks about having a negative effect. It doesn't have a negative effect on me. He's not in church anywhere this morning. Yes, it does. And some of you young guys heard him say that. If it didn't have a negative effect, where's he at? Biggest lie, I can listen to it, don't hurt me. It didn't affect my attitude. I can listen to it. Yeah, you're not the first stupid person to say that. I mean, you're not. Folks, come on. People have been saying that for years. Okay? And what I'm saying is this. You know what? Real Holy Spirit conviction is going to come to where you live and going to point out things that you need to change. And if you won't change it, then you know what? If you will quench him or grieve him and then quench him in an area of your life, the problem is all of these other advantages, you rob yourself of them. I call them peace stealers. Grieving the Holy Spirit is a peace stealer. Ephesians 4, jump over there real quick. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24. The Bible talks about grieving the Holy Spirit. And this matter of grieving the Holy Spirit is found in the midst of a whole list of things we're not supposed to be doing. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24. Ephesians 4, 24. And that you put on the new man. And that you put on the new man. You know what, folks? A Christianity that does not change you is a counterfeit. You know, the little church down the road here in Midland wants to put on their sign all the time, you know, come as you are. Come as you are. Come as you are. I wouldn't give you a dime for a Christianity that doesn't transform you. Any Christianity that does not radically change you is a counterfeit. Inside and out, it should radically change you. If it doesn't, it's a counterfeit. There's no way you can read this New Testament and try to sell me a Christianity. You know what people want? They want to be worldly and many times even lost and sprinkle a little Jesus on top and be accepted and argue that that's genuine. It's not genuine. But notice it, put you on the new man. New man. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things passed away. All things become new. Which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Oh, so he doesn't just give you option about what kind of new man you get to choose. It's one that is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away, here we go, lying. Young man, young lady, every time you tell a lie, you grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Speak every man truth with his neighbor. Remembers one of another. Angry? You got one of the, you know, short fuse? I preach on that just a while here. You know, why some of you are always into strife? I got a handful and I love you to death. I'm not saying this to hurt you. I'm saying this to try to help you. But if you don't have a fuss and a fight going on, you're not happy. And that is not the Spirit of God. That is not the Spirit of God. I don't get that. Man, I like peace. Why'd you choose this for a summer theme? Because I love peace. I mean it. I don't understand people looking for turmoil all the time, looking for conflict all the time. They got to have a contention. They got to have a fight. They got to have a fuss. They got to have something going on. You drama mamas. I mean, you know, well, you got something stirred up all the time. You're just going to keep it going. You're going to listen and hear and run and tell and see if you can get another fight going in the church. Really? Now, look right up here. Really? Really, that's life. Whew. Wow. Amen. Be not angry. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Don't give him a foothold. Don't give him an opening. Remember what Brother Smith taught us when he was here? Don't open a door. Don't steal. That means you reach in your pocket today and you've got your tithe check. And offerings. Okay? Rather let him labor, working with the hands of things that is good, that you may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Nothing ought to come out of the mouth of a Christian that is corrupt. Nothing. Nothing. Every time you do it, you grieve the Spirit of God. But that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, wherein you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Bitterness grieves him. Wrath grieves him. Anger grieves him. Clamor grieves. Evil speaking grieves the Spirit. Be put away from you. Malice grieves the Spirit. Unkindness grieves the Spirit. Hard-heartedness grieves the Spirit. An unforgiving attitude grieves the Spirit of God. All of these things. You know what God says? Listen to me. Listen, the Holy Spirit is going to step up. He's going to do His job. When you do these things, He's going to speak up to you. But you know what? You can begin to grieve Him. 1 Thessalonians 5:19. We don't have time. Very short verse. Quench not the Spirit. You grieve Him long enough, pretty soon you quench Him in your life. But you don't get to just turn off the conviction voice, part of His voice. You quench Him and His workings in your life, then you lose the comfort and you lose the ability to learn. And you listen, look right up here. Come on. When's the last time you sat in church and heard a Bible message? I'm not even talking about you having the character to go home and read it for yourself. Sat in a church and heard a Bible message and felt genuine conviction, genuine activity from the Holy Spirit teaching you and guiding you and changing you and transforming you with the truth. We just get into this cruise mode, cruise control. We don't change. We don't listen. We don't react. We don't respond. You can't get a holy grunt out of the average Christian. You can't get a trip to an altar once a year. And you know what? It's almost like they're okay with that. I don't want that life. I don't want that life. Quench not the Spirit of God. You know what's even more dangerous? Acts chapter 5. Run over there real quick. Acts chapter 5. Verse number 9. You had to move quick. Sword drill. I'm on borrowed time now. 2 minutes on borrowed time. Acts 5, 9. Watch this. Then Peter said unto her, speaking to Sapphira, her husband, she doesn't know it yet. It's already been dead and carried out and buried. Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together? Here it is. To tempt the Spirit of the Lord. Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door and shall carry thee out. Then she fell down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. Great fear came upon the church, upon all that heard, as heard these saying. Look right up here. I want your hearts. Give me a minute or two here. Look right up here. We got this idea that we can grieve the Holy Spirit of God. I don't care what the preacher said. I'm going to do what I'm going to do. But if you're born again, you are indwelt by the Spirit of God. We get the point. We quench the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about born again. Young ladies, young men, and you can almost say or do anything and you don't feel any conviction in your life. You've quenched the voice of God. But you got this idea that you can just get by with living that way long term. And God's not going to do anything about it. You watch this. You are not going to long term treat the Spirit of God that way. You will not long term do it. Not if you're truly saved. You're not going to do it long term. Because at some point, the Holy Spirit of God, who is one with the Father, they begin to communicate. This is one of your children. He absolutely has closed me off from any influence in his life. And then they begin to discuss their options. And what you'll see is the Father begin to bring chastisement. And the Father begin to bring correction. But you know what? If you won't listen to that, I guarantee you, God can get your attention. I was talking to somebody yesterday, was on visitation. This is somebody outside our church situation that's not related in any way to our church. Just somebody that comes here on Sunday morning. They're not here. They'll probably be here in a few minutes. And dealing with a family member and is going into gross sin. And they said, I don't know what else to do but pray. And I said, there are times when we have to turn something over to God because He's the only one that's going to get their attention. Okay? Please listen to me. Please listen to me, church. You know what? Why are we so bullheaded that we'll put God in that situation? That we'll just get to the point where, you know what? I dare you to do something about it. I disrespect your spirit. I disregard your spirit. I openly disobey your spirit. What are you going to do about it? And then you begin to tempt. Grieve, quench, tempt the Holy Spirit of God. And the Bible supports this thought, folks. God at times simply says, knowing in his foreknowledge, understanding that a Christian's reached a point where they're going to live out the rest of their life bringing more shame to the name of Christ than anything else. And he's at times come down. God makes these decisions and says, I'm just going to take you home early. I'm just not going to let you continue to bring shame to the name of God. And he doesn't. He doesn't. We don't have time, but I've got an hour worth of stories if you want to hear them. I'm scared to death for a handful of young people. I'm scared to death for them. I don't wish bad. I'm praying for them. Not all of them are somewhere else. You can come to church and be just as defiant against the Holy Spirit as if you weren't coming to church. Heavenly Father, please help us be sensitive to your spirit. Please, God, help us to be sensitive. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.